News Talk ZB and the New Zealand Herald present Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, demystifying your finances.
Hi, I'm Frances Cook. Welcome to the show. Politicians are always banging on about the economy. Who has the better understanding of it, how they're the person to get our economy running hotter, and why the other guy's ideas are stupid. Which is all well and good, but what about on the day-to-day level? Do our politicians remember what it's like to be the little guy like you or me? And are they keeping an eye on the issues affecting our lives? How hard it is to make ends meet? Maybe even a few suggestions on what we can do for life to be a bit easier. Money issues touch every part of our lives, and I want to know what the people in charge think about it. So, I asked the leader of each political party currently in Parliament for their best money tip to help the average person. This time, it's the Green Party.
Newstalk ZB presents Cooking the Books with Frances Cook, boosting your business confidence.
I'm joined now by James Shaw, co-leader for the Green Party. So tell me, what's your one money tip for the average person?
This may sound a bit strange, but it's write it all down and have a plan. So I think a lot of people run into trouble when people get into debt and so on, they get into denial. Mm-hmm. And one way of staying in denial is to have lots of little pots of things hidden all over the place and then to kind of rotate debt through those different pots. Mm-hmm. And of course, what happens is each one of those pots attracts interest of one description or another. And so it kind of piles up and piles up. And, people kind of maintain a sort of a lack of visibility over the whole thing, but the subconscious part of their brain knows what's going on, and that's when it gets really stressful. And so I would just say, look, the first thing to do is just to get really clear about exactly what your situation is and then develop a plan over time, to kind of manage it. But, you can't do anything without having a sense of what's actually so.
Interesting. So is it take your money situation as it is and write it all down? Are we including also your day-to-day spending and things, writing that down as well?
Yes, but they're obviously two different things, right? Mm-hmm. So the most important thing I think for most people is to get a sense of what their actual current status is, right? And to kind of go, okay, well, I've got this bit of money over here, and then I've got a debt over there or a credit card over here, and so on and so forth, and get all of that into one place so that you can see it. And then the next bit, which is to, as you're saying, work out what your day-to-day spending is, you need to do that as well in order to pay off your debts. Right, mm-hmm. To kind of work out what sort of spare capacity you've got, if any, to try and manage that out. But I think my kind of experience of most people who most of my friends, for example, who went to university, got student loans, got another student loan, traveled as I did, just don't have a really clear sense, especially when they're young, don't have a really clear sense of exactly what's going on, and that's when people get into trouble.
Yeah, well, I've got to say, I don't so much have a history of debt because I've always been terrible with money, so didn't let myself get into debt. But when I was really bad with money, I never looked at anything because I didn't want to know. Yeah. And it doesn't make you feel any better. It makes you feel more out of control, more panicky.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the cycle that people get into, right? It's kind of going, oh, I'm not going to look at it, I'm not going to look at it, I'm not going to look at it. But you kind of know deep down, it's just this horrible goat rodeo and it's all going wrong somewhere along the lines, right? And actually most people really discover that when they start getting rude letters.
Mm-hmm. I'm stuck on you saying goat rodeo there. I've never come across that term before.
Yeah, I don't know. I picked it up from a friend of mine once.
Yeah. It's good. Keep it. So keep an eye on your debts. Write it all down. Step one. What should you do from there to sort of then move into, you've got to deal with it, right?
Yeah, I mean, the thing, some of the examples I was using, things like having a credit card here, mm-hmm. A bit of an overdraft, student loan. For some people, I did a second degree, so I had a mm-hmm. second student loan at a British university as well. And so just kind of getting through each of those. Obviously, some people have got a mortgage. Mm-hmm. Fewer people these days.
Yeah.
But, there's all of that kind of thing. And once you're clear about that, get a sense of what's urgent, right? So who do you need to pay attention to first? And then develop a plan to basically sort of start giving everyone a little bit and kind of, deal with the most urgent stuff first. And the thing is that, most – organisations are actually open to a negotiation, right? So if you're suddenly going, actually, when I look at all of the repayments that I need to make, actually, that exceeds my ability to repay them, which is true for a lot of people these days, and to say, okay, then who do I need to go talk to, right? And actually, the vast majority of organisations, banks and, you know, all sorts of people will be quite happy to sort of sit down and go, okay, look, you know, I mean, banks in particular, they're very used to dealing with this, right? So, you know, they'll sit down and have a conversation with you and go, okay, look, so the repayment plan that you're currently on or should be on but haven't been is beyond your means. Well, it's pretty unrealistic for us to expect that that's suddenly going to somehow fix itself. So we're happy to have a conversation with you about, you know, a sort of a lower rate of repayment. And then as you clear your first big one, then you divert what you would have been paying to that first big one into the others. And so, you know, you sort of end up paying the same amount over time, but, you know, you just kind of knock off them, you know, knock each one off one at a time until one day you're clear.
Mm. And how about yourself? Have you used something like this? Because you mentioned student loans there.
Yeah.
That would have been in the days where, especially the British ones, still having interest, right?
Yeah, well, I come from that unfortunate generation known as Generation X.
The intermediate one.
That's right. We got screwed at both ends. So we paid interest on our student loan. Mm-hmm. So for me personally, by the time I paid off my student loan, I had, and this is in $1990, I think it was about $25,000 in principal, mm-hmm. and then $27,000 in interest.
Ugh.
Right, so I had more interest than I did loan. Mm-hmm. Right, and it, you know, I mean, it took a long time to pay that off. And then, like I said, I had a second. I did my postgrad degree over in the UK, so I took out a loan for that as well. And then I was also starting a business at the same time in the early 1990s when there was a recession on. So things were pretty tight for a while there, trying to cover both keeping the business open and, you know, making those payments and so on. It was a really tough period. Mm. And so I read a book. A friend of mine gave me a book. It was called How to Get Out of Debt and Stay Out of Debt. I like books like that. They sort of do what it says on the cover.
Yeah.
And it was just... That was sort of lesson number one. It was just like, get clear about what your situation is. And I was like, oh, okay. And then sort of sat down with an Excel spreadsheet, you know, plugged in all the numbers, and then basically developed a repayment plan to handle all of those things. And it all got handled. So,
especially with that interest building up like that, did you ever get that sense of panic of this is all getting too much?
Yeah, I mean, look, I was in my mid-20s. Was not a high income earner, you know. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I was freelancing and trying to start a business as well, and so my income was very lumpy. Like, you know, as a consultant, I'd get a chunk of money sort of 1 month, and then I might have 2 months where I didn't, you know, kind of get much at all. Mm-hmm. And then at the same time, at exactly the same time, had these student loans and other sort of obligations I needed to handle. And it was a really tough period.
So how did it change the way you looked at your money when you finally started writing it down, keeping an eye on everything? Did it change your relationship with money overall?
Yeah, massively. So, I mean, the first thing that happened was my levels of anxiety dropped through the floor, right? I mean, that
must have been nice.
Yeah, well, you're really.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, like I said, I didn't, because I wasn't clear about it, you know, you were saying before, that sort of sense of kind of knowing or feeling out of control, right? And, you know, a lot of my attention was on trying to make the next sale in my business and do all of those sort of things. And so I wasn't paying close attention to it. So just getting it all down on one sheet calmed me down massively, even though the headline numbers were, you know, kind of pretty big numbers. And then having the plan, right? And so actually all of that just kind of made my life so much easier. And then, yeah, and then actually from then on, I won't say it was plain sailing, right? But it was like just getting through, through that plan until one day it was all gone. And I haven't been in debt since. That's a pretty good feeling.
Mm. And, you know, saying that you set it up on an Excel spreadsheet and made a payment plan, that's obviously great for those people who are good with spreadsheets, good with numbers. And you're obviously a very well-educated person. Is there a way to do it for the people who are maybe a little disorganized, don't like spreadsheets, don't like numbers?
Well, you cannot avoid the numbers, right? So you're just going to have to deal with the numbers. But if you're really terrified of numbers, and I know some people are. I had a friend in school who was literally, who would panic with numbers. And I think at that point, it's like, go to someone you know who is comfortable with it. I had some friends who were, a friend of mine was an accountant actually, and a really good one. He was became a chief financial officer for an organization, so on.
That's a good person to know.
They were a very good person to know. I just sort of went to him and I said, okay, look, here's what I think I'm doing, and can you just give me a bit of guidance? And he sort of worked it all through. Basically, gave me a bit of an audit and said, "Yeah, that looks pretty good." That helped as well in terms of my own sense of what was going on. Mm-hmm. But I think all of us know someone who can help out. And of course, these days there are pretty good financial advisors around, right? So I think if you get a word of mouth recommendation from someone about a financial advisor, obviously you've got to pay them as well. Mm-hmm. And you might think that that's not worth it, but usually they'll have a few tricks up their sleeve that the vast majority of us mere mortals don't, and that'll easily cover their costs as well as, kind of help you develop a plan to get into a pretty good space.
All right, thanks so much. That's James Shaw, Green Party co-leader. If you have a question about this podcast or a thought for a future episode, do come and find me online. I'm Frances Cook on Twitter and Frances Cook Journalist on Facebook. And if you haven't already, don't forget you can subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Until next time, have a great day.
And that's Frances cooking up your business confidence for another week on News Talk ZB.